I exhort you, therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, your reasoned-out service. And do not be patterned after this world, but be inwardly transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove out the will of God, that which is good, the accepted, and the perfect. This is the word of God. How dare you, or any in this room today, or he who speaks, claim to lay on anyone a word of charge? How dare we? We who stand in his temple and say, oh, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. How dare we? How dare you think that you are someone who he would use? How dare we? We dare because of him and what he has done, not because of who you are. And so I speak his words, not Paul's, but his. Put him in that personal pronoun, parakalo, I, Jesus Christ, exhort you. And exhort, beseech it, run from everything, from demand right on down to a simple, I beg you. Take them all. Everyone. I beseech you, I exhort you, I demand of you his call, his exhortation to confront who you are and what you are to do and to be. Therefore, whoever thought your life would hinge on a three-letter word, oon, therefore, hey, it does. 12th chapter. I beseech you, therefore what? On the basis of what? Why, on everything that has gone from verse chapter 116 on, therefore. That's why I dare to charge you and you dare to accept. Therefore, on the basis of what that son has done, therefore, what a word, on which to place your theology and your faith and your mission in life, therefore, I dare. Not on my account, but because of what he is and what he has done. Brethren, what a name. Is it filler? Got to stick a word in here to make it fill out the form well. Oh, no, brethren. Look at your feet. There you see Elijah's mantle. And with trembling hands and humility and fear and awe and joy, you reach down to pick that mantle for yourself. That's, brethren, that an Elijah, an Elisha, a Paul, a Mark would say, brethren, to me.
He has called me to be a brother to them.
We are made brethren by his death. For only in his death can we be what he has called us to be, as he has redeemed us from the clutch of sin and broken our rebellion and our rebelliousness and made us his own by forgiveness and grace and by the shed holy blood. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God. Even here, Paul would hesitate to thrust himself. Listen to me, you people. But no, through the mercies of God. If the therefore looks back at what has been done, then through the mercies of God, we look ahead. We dare, we heed the call, we go because of the mercies of God, both past and present and future. You cannot be and do without the mercies of Jesus Christ, without his forgiveness and his strength. As I look back at my childhood, I remember I had a beautiful set of little toy lead soldiers. How I loved to line up my troopers there behind the end table and on the dining room table and behind the stool and fight my battles. But you know what happened. I would forget to clean up, and sure enough, someone would step on one of my soldiers. He was only lead. You know what happened to him. As I would try and bend the arm back or the musket straight again, and it never looked like it was. Ah. But if I could have taken him down to the factory again and they had remelted him and recast him, he was everything I ever had before. You had the call. Now listen to the challenge of what you are to be. Do not be patterned after this world, but inwardly, totally transformed by the renewal of your mind. You are to be recast, not just kind of bent back in the approximation of what you ought to be. In Jesus Christ, in the gospel, you are recast. And your life and your calling is not in the passing phase of the patterns and the will of this world, which molds and shifts and turns and recast itself to a degree. But you have put that aside, and you are recast in Jesus Christ. That's a challenge of what you ought to be, you see. You have been called to serve and to become his. Now you are challenged to seize your life in his grace and to be what you ought to be. And what is this but a charge? To offer your body as a living sacrifice. Your body. Why doesn't he just say, offer yourself? Be simpler. Doesn't it mean the same thing? I don't think so. Wherever you are, take a good look as you stand in that place and look down at those 10 toes. Wiggle them. Where the 10 toes touch earth, your heart and your mind and your soul is there too. Do you see? Do you see why body is so important here? Here is no half-hearted idealism. You are committed from the top of the head to the end of the toe, all of you, right there, right now, for all time. You are his. Offer your body. We have no dichotomies in the Church of Jesus Christ. You're in all the way, fella. All the way. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Why, that's a paradox. It's a contradiction. Sacrifices here are burnt up. How can that be? That's the paradox in the kingdom of God, isn't it? Who you are, with all of your weaknesses and your foibles and your mistakes and your falling into sin day after day, that body and soul he wants is a living sacrifice. First, the sacrifice is total, isn't it? If it's burned up, that is a permanent commitment. Well, he wants the commitment, does Jesus Christ, because he redeemed you by his blood. But he wants you to be a living sacrifice, one totally committed for life that you serve through your life. Your reasoned out service. Not just in the sense of what's the reasonable, the right thing to do. No. But the service that, in contrast to the dumb beast offered on a fiery altar, is by the renewal of your mind in Jesus Christ, thought out, planned, executed, committed to him in every way. All life and mind are bent to the task. All life. Holy, well-pleasing. Holy is a word that brings to mind two things to me. First, the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ to wipe away the stain and the bondage of sin and death, to renew me also as his child. But secondly, separation. To be put aside from this patterned world to his service. You're his man, totally, completely. To prove out the will of God. What does he say? Why, in your life and your ministry, as you serve in a far part of our world, you will discover the will of God. Why, this is the way God intended it to be for me. And what is the will of God? In apposition, we see that which is the good thing and the well-pleasing and the perfect. Why, the will of God is simple, isn't it? That's why everybody in this room happens to be here on this campus. God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the will of God. And you will prove it out in your life where you are, all of you, because it is the good will He wills that which is only good, which is our salvation, the whole globe. And he wills you to be his servant.
Well, please. What a beautiful word as we get to the end of our little excursion into Paul. Well, please. Do you know God delights in us? That's refreshing, isn't it?
He has issued us a call, given us a challenge, and now he gives us a charge to do this and that. And as he winds it all up, he talks to us,
do that which is well-pleasing to me.
And as we do his will and his work,
we please him. He can delight in us.
Frightening and yet joyful all at the same time.
Because he dwells in us. How else could we close the paragraph except with the word perfect?
Doing that which is perfect,
complete, whole, nothing lacking. That's your call and your assignment and your work. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the mercies of God,
to offer your body a living sacrifice, that which is wholly well-pleasing to God.
And it is, brethren, it's your reasoned-out service. Oh, in the name of God, don't be patterned by this world,
but be totally transformed by the renewal of your mind in that Holy Spirit who has come to us through Christ, so that in your ministry, wherever and in whatever climate may be, you will be proving out that indeed the will of God is there, that will, the good one, for the salvation of all, that which is well-pleasing, everything that you do and are in Christ, and that which is perfect, lacking nothing at all in gifts or results. Well, that's it. You have a call. I exhort you, he says. He gives you a challenge. Be totally transformed. Have a charge. Offer your life as a living sacrifice in his service. What else is there to say in answer to that kind of a commander? Yes. Sir. Amen.